back on downtown, waiting for the NBA Finals to begin. Well, it's close. Thursday night, 8:30, the tip-off for the Celtics and the Dallas Mavericks. To break it all down for us, we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Two more sleeps, John. We can make it.
We can do it. We can do it. I swear we can.
Boy, though, I was telling you in the break, it's like being a kid waiting to go to bed on Christmas Eve.
I know. It's just been such a long wait. You know, it's not like if you're using the Christmas Eve scenario, but it's like we started on Thanksgiving night, you know, and we're like, all right, Christmas around the corner. No, it's not. It's going to take a while to get here. But hey, you know, worth the wait, and it's been worth it to give Kristaps Porzingis some extra time and give guys some extra time to get as healthy as possible. And, you know, tomorrow, media day at the Garden, and then it's off to the races.
Well, I think it's a really intriguing matchup, and you have written about it, talked about it on the podcast as well, a lot of different ways to look at this. And I kind of like your theory that what the Celtics might choose to do is to make Luka do everything out there.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to kind of approach a guy that can do everything. Like, all right, let's see what you got there, buddy, and do it on both ends. Like, if they're going to, we hear so much about Porzingis. Doncic kind of being able to defend better than he has in the past. All right, well, let me see it. Let me see you defend. Let's put him in all of the actions. And let's see what he can do. Is he going to defend the way he has in spurts, or is he going to be so focused on his offense where if the Celtics defend him straight up and don't give him the passing lanes and he has to be more of a scorer, you know, that could impact how much he's going to play defense. And does he tail off? Does he take possessions off because he's got to save his energy for the other side of the floor? I just think that if you make him work hard on defense, he's going to have to make a choice. And then if you single cover him as much as possible, knowing that when I say that, it's probably going to be like maybe half the time that you single cover him, and the other half is going to have to be a mixture of any and every coverage that you can think of. It all of that can add up to, first of all, lower production from everybody else. Maybe Kyrie Irving starts to force things because he's not getting as many touches. And maybe it's just Luka ends up being tired. And, you know, I think it's just going to open up a lot of possibilities for the Celtics.
I thought it was interesting on the crossover podcast you did. You were asking, who does Luka cover defensively? Who does Kyrie cover? And the big difference in this series is they haven't played teams with the offense that the Celtics have.
That's right. And those questions are the biggest questions of the series. Because in past series, you could hide Doncic. You could hide Kyrie. Maybe sometimes you could hide both. But there's nowhere to hide against the Celtics team. There's just too many options that can hurt you offensively. And so, who do they guard? Is it Holiday? I can see my guess is Luka takes Porzingis and Kyrie takes maybe Holiday. And you just hope that Holiday regresses a little bit shooting-wise and Porzingis isn't 100% enough and Luka can kind of roam off of him and they're not worried about him as much. That's probably the best option. And you're talking about two guys that, you know, play at an all-star level. So that's how tough it's going to be for the Mavs. There's no good answer for who those guys guard. Meanwhile, on the other side, anybody can guard anybody for, you know, and minus like Porzingis picking up somebody on the perimeter, all the other guys, and the Celtics could go small if they need to. So the Celtics defensively have a ton of versatility. The Mavericks have weaknesses. Playoffs are all about matchups to me, and that's a matchup nightmare for them.
Well, and that Mavs defense is interesting too, because a lot of teams wouldn't do this, but they're more than happy to see teams get the ball down low in the paint and then go at it. But the Celtics don't need to do that because they love taking those threes.
They do love taking those three-pointers, man. And I think the key to attacking the Mavericks defense is you get past the perimeter, which I think is going to be somewhat easy to do against the Mavs. So and the Mavericks like to funnel players into their paint defense anyway. So I think there's just going to be a natural getting into the paint. And then from there, Dallas has this desire to protect the rim. Now, we'll see if they adjust. But if they keep playing this way, then the kickouts are going to be there, and the three-point shot is going to be there for Boston. So I think whichever way the Mavs decide to defend, Boston has an answer. And if the Mavs decide to defend the way they've been defending in the playoffs for the most part, and the way they've been defending since they've gotten all of these players at the trade deadline, I think Boston's just going to win that. And it may not be the style that a lot of Celtics fans want to see, because it's going to be very, very, very heavy three-point. Get ready for that. Don't be surprised if they take 50 in a few games. But I think the Celtics are very willing to take and make the three-point opportunities that they're going to get against Dallas.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. What kind of minutes restrictions do you think we'll see on Porzingis early on?
I think it's just going to be a natural kind of keeping him to the regular season rotation as much as possible. Probably in the 20 to 25 minute range, which is enough. But it's going to also be contingent on how he feels. He spoke today to the media. It was not as encouraging as I thought it might be. I asked him if he was 100%, and he was like, we'll see. I was like, oh, that's kind of a yes or no answer. And he didn't say yes, so that means the answer is no. Yeah, so he's not 100%. And if he was asked, if he was running pain-free, and he paused, literally for 7 seconds, which we could try 7 seconds of dead air right now. Nobody wants to hear that. He paused for 7 seconds and then said, yes. Which, again, not encouraging. Because if the answer was yes, you'd say that right away and not take 7 seconds. So it's going to depend on how he feels. There is the potential for him being sore, and he'll have to come out sooner. Maybe he'll have to play longer stretches, but it depends on that. And I think I don't think they're going to want to push him past 24, 25. But then, you know, Al Horford's going to pick up the rest of that slack, and that's going to be a minutes reduction for him, and that's going to be good for the Celtics.
They've played so well in this postseason, 12-2 record so far, and part of that certainly due to some improvement in the play of Brown and Tatum, some of the changes to the roster. But how much of the credit should go to Joe Mazzulla and his staff?
I'm sorry, you cut out at the beginning of that question.
Oh, how much of the credit for dispatching teams quicker this year than done in the past should go to the coaching staff?
Oh, sure, yeah, plenty. I mean, it's an across-the-board kind of credit for everybody. Like, Mazzulla and the staff, I think, have put together a game plan. And the important thing when it comes to the Boston Celtics game plan is the modern NBA, the 2024 NBA, with its high-powered offenses, especially, what you have to live with, what you have to deal with, is a lot. It's different than any other era. And you just have to be willing to give up something, because each team, no matter what the perception is, super, super talented. And I think one of the keys for the coaching staff has been getting the team to buy in to just following the game plan, even though the results might be somebody is scoring. They're not adjusting to the results. if the shots that they're giving up are the types of shots that they want to live with. And you saw it in the Cavs series when Evan Mobley was going off, and people are like, oh my God, he's killing them. You got to stop that. And the Celtics are sitting there thinking like, no, Evan Mobley taking those 2-point shots, that's great, because that means Donovan Mitchell isn't getting those shots and Darius Garland isn't getting hot from three. And there's going to be some of that in this series where maybe Derek Lively gets a few buckets in the middle of the paint and it looks like, oh God, Lively is killing us. And oh man, you know, one of these guys, somebody else is killing us from two. And the Celtics just sit there like, yeah, good, go kill us from two. Ooh, we're so afraid of this. Keep sticking with that game plan, because we're going to be hitting 3-pointers on the other end, and we're going to be pushing that lead up. And what starts out as an even quarter ends up Celtics plus 7. And if you do that for 3 straight quarters, you've got a 21-point lead. And that's where the Celtics are playing the long game. And that's where the coaching and getting the guys to stick with that is really important, because it's very easy to be like, hey, coach, this ain't working. I'm not doing this anymore. To get that kind of buy-in from everybody is really important.
Well, if you want to know what's going on throughout the playoffs, and if you're not doing it already, subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Check out John's work in Boston Sports Journal as well. Great stuff, as always. Enjoy game one, John, and we will check in with you again next week. Keep hitting that mute button.
All right. Sorry. All right, buddy. I'll see you then.
Thanks, John. John Corrales, Celtics Talk here on Downtown on this Tuesday afternoon.